Professor Crawley, in his usual enthusiasm tempered by uncharacteristic gravity, announced, "We need to talk about what happens next." Early morning light filtered through the store's windows, casting long shadows across the pattern still glowing on the floor. "About what accepting these powers really means." They gathered around the reading table, surrounded by Margaret's research and the ever-present glow of active manuscripts. The first book hovered nearby, its pages occasionally turning to show glimpses of possible futures, some beautiful, some terrifying. "Something changed in you last night," Crowley continued, looking at each of them in turn. "When you understood the pattern, when you saw how it all connects, the narrative energy, it's starting to affect you more directly." He wasn't wrong. Evelyn could feel it, a constant awareness of the stories around them, like music playing just below the threshold of hearing. Jasper's hands kept moving as if writing invisible words in the air. Lydia's notebook wrote itself even when she wasn't touching it, channeling fragments of 100 different tales. "Show them," Amelia said quietly. "Show them what happened to Margaret." Crowley nodded and opened the grimoire to a marked page. "Your aunt kept detailed records of the effects, the physical toll of working with narrative energy." The grimoire's symbols rearranged themselves, forming images in the air. Margaret Hawthorne, at different ages, showing the gradual changes wrought by decades of story work. Her silver hair had turned white prematurely. Lines appeared around her eyes, not from age, but from seeing too many possibilities at once. Her hands developed tremors from channeling too much narrative power. "The stories don't just want to be finished," Amelia explained. "They want to be lived. Each time you help one cross between fiction and reality, it takes something from you. Energy, time, pieces of yourself." The first book's pages turned, showing more examples. Writers throughout history who had touched true narrative power. Some had managed it safely, accepting limited contact with story energy. Others had gone further, becoming vessels for tales that demanded to be told. The costs were clear in their faces, their bodies, their gradually diminishing lifespans. "But we've already been working with the stories," Lydia protested. "Writing them, helping them. I feel fine, better than fine." "That's how it starts," Jasper said quietly. "The power feels good at first, intoxicating, like having access to pure creativity, pure possibility, but it builds up in your system, changes you." The first book pulsed with light, and words formed in the air.